The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM, WMAL.
And welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio, and we're here to take your questions and go over what you've tried and applied and looking for more natural sources. So that's what you're here for. And hopefully you're finding us on our new time now as well, on Sundays at 11 a.m. We do the recordings, and they do get placed on the YouTube channel afterwards as well, too. So if you want to see any or listen to any of the past recordings or playback this one as well, too, feel free to find the Dr. Rozelle Live YouTube channel, and you can listen to about 8 or 9 years of YouTube stations on in our radio show. I am live in studio here with your presenter for this Wednesday's upcoming lecture. We are having an inside house lecture, and it's free to the public. And it's Dr. Scott Lamp, and he's going to be talking about digestive disorders, the gluten connection. Welcome back.
Oh, here we go. What a week, right?
What a week.
What a week we have here. So we're going to be talking about things in a combination of both digestion, and they are linked to the gluten problems that we have out there. And but also we're going to go through and look at a lot of things with the digestion problems as they are too. So there's a lot of things we're going to be covering here. When we're talking about gluten and allergy symptoms and things, this is going to be interesting because I'm going to give you a list of the most common causes for gluten allergy symptoms. And of course, we're going to probably run across a little bit with the virus here, it seems like. But coughing is one, nasal congestion, sneezing, tightness of the throat, asthma, tingling, itching, tongue or throat swelling, metallic taste in your mouth, abdominal pain, which is a big one, muscle spasms, vomiting, diarrhea. Those are the common ones. But I know there's a lot of other ones we're talking about with headaches when you talk with allergies. The list is huge. I remember having a particular patient coming in and just joint tightness. They just came in. They were eating. They were a volleyball player. And as soon as we get them off of gluten, the next thing you know, there's like my hand stiffness are gone. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting combination.
Well, let's back up and let's talk, what is gluten, first of all? And because we're talking about something that obviously can affect not only one part of the body, even though the digestive tract is usually what we're thinking of, but as you just mentioned, it can kind of affect all the outside parts of the digestive tract. And what we always kind of talk about how the whole body is kind of playing into it, from the biochemical, mental, emotional, and structural. The digestive tract definitely is more of that than anything else. But what is gluten, so that most people don't, if they're not familiar, I mean, they've probably heard about gluten, gluten-free diets, gluten sensitivity, all of this stuff. So when we're really talking about this, what does it break down to?
Well, I think gluten is actually, when you talk about things like wheat, is a protein that's made out of glutenin and gliadin. There's some molecules that form kind of like this elastic bond that's just associated with water. And so these things don't, when you have the gluten that's there and it's put in the system, it can create things like intolerances, or people can get allergies to them. It could also be linked into something called celiac disease, which is very serious and ends up being like an autoimmune disease where the body is actually fighting itself, attacking itself. And that's where you can get into very serious cases, life-threatening cases, when you deal with that. The difference between those two, when you're talking about celiac and then something like an intolerance, is like how fast, how quick the reactions can happen. You can have gluten and be in the body for up to 30 days sometimes, and body might have a reaction to it. And it could be like, you know, it's like, okay, I ate how many different meals in that time frame in 30 days? And all of a sudden something shows up. But again, the abdominal pain, the discomforts, and those things that I listed before are some of the things you might see here.
So, yeah, what I think is interesting is when I kind of picture what gluten is, and not to say this is what it is, stay away from it, but essentially, like, we think of the rye, barley, and wheat as the main sources of it. So you automatically think of breads and pastas and stuff. And so when you think about that sticky substance that allows dough to rise, when it's mixed with yeast and water and heat, you know, that's, and basically allows that air to get in. So those air pockets that you see in, you know, whether it's a pastry or in bread and stuff, that's because of gluten in there.
Right.
So when you don't have it, these gluten-free products, I know I tried baking something and it came out very flat.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised the first time, but it's not rising. So you're not getting the big fluffy cake or...
Well, remember the days of Wonder Bread? Mm-hmm. And if you get that weight and the pastiness that's in there, and that pastiness is in your digestive tract and it blocks things and doesn't think... Just think about the things being blocked that can't be moved past that paste that's there. And that causes kind of like an inflammatory basis. And when you have inflammation blocks things from moving. And it causes, obviously, inflammation is associated with all our major diseases. And so there's a lot of different things that can start being increased because of the gluten situation that you get into even things like diabetes and other aches and pains and other kind of different systems of the body, that this is just something that we just don't need to have in the system. We talk about some of the things or some of the products that some of these things are in. So obviously we're looking at like cakes and cereals and breads and things of that nature. But, you know, we don't think about things like beer. There's something that's in there. There's the hops that are associated with it. You got gravy and dressing and sausages that possibly have some of these things in. Some of the byproducts in cold cuts. Some things in your salad dressings. And the thing is some of the names are hidden that you don't know it says it's gluten in itself. Tom talks about the situation where he likes to drink wine.
Wait, that's on the no list.
That's the no list. Well, it depends on where the wine's from.
Right.
But the thing is in the barreling process, they use gluten to kind of get and gluten, by the way, is GLUT, like glue, or the first part of that is glue, like the gluten is a barreling process in some American wines. And so what happens is it's not listed on the label. Now, he's sensitive to that, and so when he drinks some of the American wines, he gets headaches. And so when he eats the Italian wines or some of the French wines, he doesn't get it.
Yeah, so we're looking at things that are basically in as a binder because of that stickiness,
exactly.
Food flavorings, and even in products like lipstick, sometimes toothpaste and stuff like that, it can be in there to give it that consistency as well, too. So gluten and all its fun that it plays on the digestive disorder and then some is going to be the topic for this Wednesday's in-house lecture at the Rizal Center for Healing in Fairfax. If you are interested in registering, there's a couple different ways you can do that. One, you can go online to our website, rosellecare.com, rosellecare.com. If you scroll down, you're going to see a big sign that says Digestive Disorders, Wednesday, March 18th at 7 p.m., and you can click on that button to register. They'll get some information for you and also confirm with you. And you can also call the office as well, too, at 703-698-7117 to set up your place, and we'll give you all the information and also talk a little bit later about the things we're doing, too, to knowing everything that's kind of going on, but we're still planning on having an in-house lecture, but we're happy to see you in there. And this is a big topic because a lot of the times when we talk about autoimmune disease, chronic mm-hmm. health, inflammation, joint issues, it seems like it may be a suggestion to do a gluten-free diet or to help to remove some of these foods that are creating more inflammation and not allowing for healing.
Allergies themselves. So I think the whole thing is it's all about controlling inflammation. And I think one of the first things you really have to address is the digestive part of it. And then gluten's at the top of the list. I mean, we can get into some dairy things and some of those other factors that might be involved into it. But you really want to find out, get rid of those things that I think when I test people, I find at least 80% of the people have a reaction or some type of reaction to it. And that means, oh, great, then I don't. Well, you'll probably eventually will. I think it's just the way that it goes after the body and how it affects it. And there's some other issues, too, that we'll get into, possibly like the glyphosates, the Roundups that might be out there that seem to be associated with this that actually compounds the problems.
So when we're looking at, say, the gluten or like other inflammatory substances as well, too, because mm-hmm. sometimes when we're removing some of these other things, too, some of the things that we think are perfectly natural, someone might have a reaction to it. Why does the GI tract, why does the gut play such an important part of an immune process, and why do we have to focus on there? Because sometimes you'll hear us say over and over again that, you know, you got to focus on the digestive tract first in order to help out the rest of the body.
Right.
Why is that playing such an issue, and why does that get overlooked?
Well, I think the thing is that our mouth to the anus all the way through is an open portal to the outside world. And the question is what do we let in? And the thing is where does it come in? Well, it comes into the small intestine, it gets digested, broken down, and now we're taking things from the outside world in. And if that doesn't necessarily agree with it, it's now in our systems. And that's why it's really, really important to do that. Now, we have barriers in our body. We have a barrier for our skin, so we don't have things going directly in our bodies from the skin. We have a blood-brain barrier, which sometimes also, by the way, if the barrier in our digestive tract is off, guess what else is going to be affected? The blood-brain barrier. And then respiratory barriers, which, you know, now with the coronavirus and things are concerned, are these things being compromised? And so the digestive system, that's pretty much what it is. It's 60 to 90% of our immune system is associated with this area of the small intestine and the digestive tract and breaking things down the correct way that has a major, major, major effects on our bodies. I think when we talk about digestion, and I think we're talking about getting healthy, we've got to be able to absorb things to repair, but we can also absorb things to tear down. And we also need to have energy. And some of those energy molecules have to be absorbed to be able to do that. And if you want to get better, you've got to be able to have the energy, and you got to be able to break things down.
Right. And you mentioned when we move outside of the digestive tract, too, some of these other areas that it might show up. And one of the interesting things that I thought when we talk about not absorbing certain things is chronic fatigue and iron deficiency anemia tends to be a side effect of gluten allergies and stuff. So you're not absorbing the iron the correct way. You're not producing those chemicals that you need in your gut to get some of those interesting, and then your energy is being used to fight off inflammation, so it definitely can't fight off or give you an energy boost too.
And then also, how much are we taking care of our stomachs? This is another aspect. I mean, this is sort of the place where we break things down, and we also kill things. I think what we think about is, like, one of the largest drugs we have out there is protein pump inhibitors and these kind of things, these acid reducers that we're taking. Well, what's the goal of the stomach? It's to break things down, and now we're going to stop the acids for particular reasons to save a symptom or so, and hopefully we're diagnosing it correctly. But the best thing is we're not killing the things that are coming in. Part of the digestive process, part of the acids that are supposed to be in your stomach, is to look at killing those things that might cause some disruption farther down. Kill the bacteria, kill the viruses, kill the fungus, kill the parasites. And we don't, then all of a sudden now we've kind of pushed that into the system, and now it's getting into, and things like leaky guts and stuff of this nature, things are getting into our bodies that are not supposed to.
Kill the digestive tract.
Yeah.
Basically. So.
Right.
Well, I can kind of tell you, because we've had patients that have come in here before into the office, and they said, you know, I've got the iron gut. I've never had a response to anything. How can this possibly play an issue with me? And, you know, and my favorite that always goes with it too, and you were kind of getting into this with the way things are processed now as well, the fact that, oh, we've got the older generation who have never had any of these issues, they've living longer, and, you know, they had plenty of bread and plenty of pasta and plenty of wheat, how come it's not bothering them? What do we start to see as some of these differences that have changed over time that, say, make it more prevalent now? Or are we just paying more attention to it and kind of have more ability to test for it and now we have more gluten-free products as well.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of things that play into this. I think a lot of times things started with a lot of the antibiotics probably back in World War II. I think World War II, you had a lot of antibiotics that were brought into the process. And what's interesting is they're talking about how antibiotics actually can affect our gene expression. And what happens is if we have gene expression we're getting close to a break. We'll go continue this kind of the answer to that. But we'll talk a little bit more about gene expression on that.
So the gluten connection and digestive disorders is going to be the topic for this Wednesday night, Wednesday, March 18th at 7 p.m. at the Rizal Center for Healing. We're going to hope you're going to join us, and we're going to tell you a little bit about what we're doing in the office as well, too. So if you have any questions, feel free to call us at the office, 703-698-7117 to sign up or register online. We'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We are live in studio today talking about your digestive disorders and gluten and basically things that are creating inflammation that's going to affect your immune system and the way you function. And that is going to be the lecture topic for this Wednesday night's in-house lecture, free to the public. You just need to register with Dr. Scott Lamp. And you can do that two different ways. The good thing is that we're going to give you more information later on different things if you're worried about coming into the office in a little bit. But you can register online. Go to RizalCare.com. If you scroll down, you see upcoming events and health lectures, and you can click right there to register, or you can call the office too at 703-698-7117 to get your spot. Dr. Lamp, we were just talking about, we're talking about the hidden things that gluten can do, but then when we look at our food labels as well, too, gluten's kind of hiding in those ingredients as well that we might not think of. So where are these other sources that we have to be a little bit more diligent to kind of look at when we're trying to make these changes?
Yeah. I think a lot of things are kind of interesting with that, because when you have something that says enhanced mm-hmm. or enriched or natural, I think by the definition of natural, natural is anything in the universe. That's basically it. So it's kind of an interesting thing to kind of hide, or spices or stuff like that. One of the things that has gluten in it that you might see is something that has, it says malts is one. Starches and other derivatives could probably be in there. And there's also something called HVP, which is hydrolyzed vegetable protein. And then hydrolyzed wheat protein, that kind of gives it away because it's got the wheat in it. And then the textured vegetable protein. And then people are looking at these things quickly and making decisions off the shelf, like, oh, okay, well, he said not wheat. This is going to be okay. And so this game that's constantly being played on putting these things through is kind of, this is one of those type of things. Another thing that's kind of interesting, too, is if you want to take a look at, we talked about before about some of the other foods that you don't think about gluten might have in it, is processed broth and bouillon cubes. You know, and you, a lot of things that intermittent fasting, you know, you talk about. Can we get away with that, Dr. Lamp, talking about that? But the processed broth, I mean, sometimes we have bone broth and stuff like that. It's good. But here it is. This has got gluten in it on the stuff of that nature. And obviously fried foods, candies have them in it. Self-basting poultry is another thing that's a possibility might have it in it. Seasoned rice, imitation fish, seasoned chips, and other seasoned snack foods. So, you know, the thing is, it's challenging to look at these things, but the question is take yourself off it to 2 to 3 weeks, maybe about a month. See how you feel. I think that's the thing, is if you start seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and start understanding, then is it worth that while of doing that and doing that diligence? Again, natural foods, natural vegetables, less processed types things that always seem to be good. What does the body really need? They need those things.
Yeah, and at least you're seeing more options of gluten-free foods come in, but that also can come with a little bit of a risk too, because if you take that gluten out, it's going to change the taste profile a little bit. So there may be, you know, may have a little bit of the snack while cookie effect where we took the fats out, but we added sugars and stuff in there to help process it. So you have to be careful of that factor.
Yeah, you'll see like glycemic index, which is how fast sugar gets in the system. You'll see those things rise when you start substituting some of these things out. Okay, we take the gluten out. That's going to concentrate the sugar more. Okay, well, if I'm diabetic and things of that nature, that's not necessarily a good way to go there. So a lot of times do that. I think you mentioned earlier before the opioid, or what you're talking about now, the opioid effect that sometimes some of these things have.
Yeah, and so, yeah, you find your favorite foods and you try to take it out. You're kind of craving that back again because it's essentially affecting the opioid receptors in the brain saying you need to eat this.
Remember the food industry. What do they want you to do? Keep eating our food. That's like the Oreo cookie. It's like, you have one, you got to have another one. Or Lay's potato chips? They did mm-hmm. But you can't have more than one. And you got these people sitting in laboratories trying to figure out how to make you crave that food back again. So there's all kinds of games being played.
I think it's also interesting, there was something that I was watching the other day, and we both watched this, that says you would think with the increased rise of gluten-free products that wheat products would start to decrease. But in certain parts of the country, and I think this is especially in Australia, they're growing wheat for gluten to make it as a protein substitute.
Right.
So they're taking the gluten, and then they're basically kind of frying it up because of that texture that it gives you, and it's becoming vegan substitutes. So as a whole nother industry starts to build up, as these, you know, meatless meats basically are out there, you have to be careful of that, because certainly that might not be what someone's thinking about when they're wanting to eat healthy and change their lifestyle. And now they're thinking, well, now you're getting a dosing of something that you shouldn't possibly be avoiding.
And what was amazing on the video was when the person was eating it, what was her response?
It always tastes like chicken. It
tastes like chicken. Actually, this is not too bad. This actually tastes pretty good. I'm like, oh, my God.
But they did throw some barbecue sauce and all these other flavorings in there as well, too. So when we're thinking about it, the processing of how gluten's used, you know, really has to come into. So working with, you know, someone like a nutritionist and working with us to really figure out what other sensitivities might be there really plays into effect.
Yeah. Quite a bit.
We're going to go on a break real quick. Hopefully you're enjoying this show on digestive disorders and the gluten connection. Dr. Scott Lamp is going to be your presenter this Wednesday night, March 18th at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, Virginia. We are located right off the Beltway. We hope you're going to join us, and we got more to come. Stay tuned.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio talking about a current healthcare problem, and it's a little different than the one you're probably thinking of. That's the gluten connection and digestive disorders, which is going to be the topic of this Wednesday's lecture, Wednesday the 18th at 7 p.m. with Dr. Scott Lamp at the Rozelle Center for Healing. We wanted to inform you, too, that, like, stay tuned, and when you're going to register online at rozellecare.com, we're going to be posting some information later on, even tonight, on different things we're doing in the office to kind of help keep your health in check, and also what we're doing so that if you're interested in coming to this lecture, some of your fears might be abated. And we want to make sure we're kind of keeping everything up to date. So we got you in mind as well, too, but we want to make sure we're boosting your health and wellness, and we keep you in mind. And Dr. Lamp, we were talking during the break about how stress can affect not only the GI tract, but your immune system, which is a great lead into with everything going on, but also with this topic as well, too, because we know that that can affect so many different ways, but definitely makes us more hindered as far as fighting off any kind of infection or allergy.
This is an interesting point, and I think in our office we always look at the element of structure, chemistry, and emotion. And the emotional part, which is right now there seems to be a little bit of panic out there with what's going on with this virus that's currently going on. Understanding how the body works, if the body's under stress, now let's say if the lion's coming at you right now and you need to run away, the body's going to use the orchestra of using something called the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is kind of like the great wanderer. It hits all the different organs, but it kind of orchestrates something called flight or flight, rest and digest. That means that it's kind of like, how do I save myself? Well, the body's going to see the danger. It's going to now divert some of its resources to the away from digestive organs, go to the arms and legs and get you out. It doesn't care about what's happening 10 minutes from now. It's caring about right now. This is a survival mechanism. When that happens, and if you're constantly under that stage, the body's not going to make immune cells. The immune cells happen when we rest, when we have a chance to kind of calm down in that rest and digest point. And so an interesting aspect here that is we're panicking all the time, we're actually making ourselves more vulnerable to attack from things because now we've affected our digestive tract because our body wants to go and run away. So it's important to learn how to do things like deep breathing exercises in areas where you're away from other people, but breathing those exercises. Don't be afraid to go outside and walk around. Breathe, walk. Movement of our bodies also helps elicitate to reduce the stress mechanism of our bodies. Even longer strides with our legs when we walk actually helps our upper thoracic torso move a little bit better and makes things moving. When we talk about infections, usually an infection is a backup of fluids of some sort with a bacteria and viruses take advantage of that that environment and grow and thrive in it. So we don't have to be stagnant. And if we're stagnant, that's death. Movement is life. And I think that's one of the things we're kind of forgetting about here. That's why we should be drinking water, because we need to flush. I mentioned to you off air, this weekend I was seeing patients, half of them were dehydrated. And so continue drinking that water. Flush the system. Working on flushing the system. That's half your body weight in ounces. Does the urine look clear when you're urinating? Besides the B vitamins, because sometimes that'll change the color of it. There's certain things that happen with foods, given that. But just get out there and walk and move. Now, if you have problems, again, in regards to things like allergies and things, and you have to be more indoor, then maybe work on a treadmill or something. Don't be afraid to exercise. Move the body, because that actually stimulates movement and peristalsis. That's a big term that means like getting your bowels to move.
Right. So it's going back to, we're talking about respiratory stuff, and all of a sudden now it's going back to the digestive tract.
Right.
Which if we've got issues there to begin with, that whole inflammation just puts us in a more likelihood area to get sick and prone to other issues.
Right, exactly.
and stuff too. For those of you that I just wanted to say too, what was interesting, you're talking about kind of that parasympathetic system, that that's the rest and digest part of it.
Correct.
And when does that system really take advantage of, is at nighttime. So getting enough sleeping. And so Dr. Zell had sent out a great thing from kind of the office policy about what's currently going on. And the number one thing that he listed on there was get enough rest, that 7 to 8 hours mm-hmm. of rest, so your body can heal during that time. Also trying to avoid some of these foods that we're talking about, sugars and glutens and stuff that causes sensitivities, so that you can get as much into your body that we can use.
Yeah, and when we're talking about some of the things, that's a stressor itself. You know, we talk about stress emotionally, but we have stress physically, chemically, and emotionally. So if we're doing chemically things to our bodies that make us back up and get inflamed, that's a stress. And so if the body has to work on that, it has less energies to work on other things. So that's an important thing. So look at the stress on the structural, the chemical, emotional element. And I think we're forgetting about the emotional part of it too, is just relax, go get through it. This is going to work out fine. I think everything is going to be due. But overly panicking is really not going to do much good of anything.
So when we talk about also how the digestive tract is part of our immune system as well too, when there is dysfunction going on in there, how do we get from the digestive tract and taking in gluten or not being a happy camper, essentially, whether that's celiac disease or IBS or some of the other Crohn's,
ulcerative colitis.
How do we get from that to some of these outside the digestive tract issues like arthritis and skin issues and headaches and stuff? How does that play into a factor where we're thinking, well, how or what am I eating going to affect my skin? How does that factor in?
Well, think about how the body detoxifies. That's going to be a good way to look at it. And we have four major ways to detoxify. And one is respiratory. You breathe it and you get it out through water pellets through proper digestion. But the other way to get it through is through your skin. And if I'm polluting my body, one of the things they're going to do, and I think in you being an acupuncture, they talk about the liver being involved with when you have a red rash that's raised and it's itchy, hot, and irritated, it's usually maybe a liver problem associated with that. Or something cold or maybe a darker patch or something might be large intestine. So the body has ways to push these things out, but it's going to show in other places. And when you have inflammation, sometimes it gets trapped in other places like joint spaces. And all of a sudden now I'm eating something that's inflammatory, and all of a sudden that joint space or autoimmune, for example, might be another thing. An autoimmune is like a certain part of the body is attacking itself. And then anytime I have an inflammatory reaction anywhere, the body's going to be like, well, we always have this problem in the knee, and let's go after that again because that's our usual suspect. So we're going to go in that neighborhood and kind of rattle things up a little bit. So it's amazing how the whole thing works through that. Now, on top of that, we said the skin and the breath, urination, you need to get these things in and out. The waste products have to come out. And then defecation, all these things play a part. So you need to get things in, out, flush it, move it, dynamic. And if it gets backed up, all kinds of things go crazy.
Right. So when we go back to just general digestive tract health, if we don't have the general health, doesn't even matter what's going in or what you're trying to flush through. It's just like patients that want to do a detox, but they're already constipated to begin with. They're kind of putting themselves in a worse position because they're pulling back reabsorption of everything that's trying to get out.
You're not pooping and you're trying to do a detox.
Yeah.
Not a good combination.
Yeah. Essentially, also, what I think is interesting about some of this is you brought up autoimmune. We talked about the autoimmune version with gluten that's attached to it is celiac disease. But where we have these genetic factors that have to be there first, and then there's that trigger that kind of gets the ball rolling.
Right.
It's interesting that with celiac, we know the trigger. We know that it's gluten. So elimination diet is always the first thing that they use to go to treat, no matter what diagnosis process and stuff they've done. So they're taking that out. So it's number one been the best thing, and whether or not they're doing it with gluten intolerance and people are getting better going, I haven't been diagnosed with celiac disease. You were mentioning a little bit first, when people are kind of coming in with some of these digestive issues, you know, they're wondering, the thing that they've heard is celiac disease. Do I have it? Do I not have it? But there's a lot of other testing and other things that go kind of into basically ruling out what's going on.
Well, I think the whole thing is when you look at digestion and when you go from the very beginning, you know, you talk about like what's the very first thing that happens in digestion? It's an emotional response. It's an actually like you smell it and all of a sudden now I've got enzymes in my mouth change, my saliva starts to change. looking at something that looks, like an attractive dessert, for example, or the sizzle of a steak of some sort, if you're really hungry for meat of some sort, then all of a sudden those things go into play. And I think, you know, there's so many different things which digestion plays a part. And I think we don't slow down to eat. You know, going back to the element of, we mentioned for the flight or flight response, is eating on the run. What are you telling the body to do? Are you trying to rest? Or are you trying to run away? And so when you're trying to eat food at that same time and putting all those things into play, do you take time to chew your food? Okay? And I think the analogy I use is like an old uncle showing up at your door, knocking on your door, and you're like, I haven't prepared any food in the house, and I don't have a bed made, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like when you gulp your food down, you're telling the stomach, you aren't giving it any idea what's coming. You know, when you chew your food, there's sensors in your mouth that tells, hey, I've got, you know, protein coming in. I need to make more hydrochloric acid than normal. And so there's a whole process that goes on here. And it's like, I think when we sit back and eat, and especially in times now, is to relax, eat your food, take your time to assimilate, and make sure those things go down around that track the right way. There's a certain amount of time frame where we're looking at where, you know, some things that were on the stomach were up to like 2 hours, and small intestine, they stay there around 5 to 6 hours, and large intestine 10 hours. And it's interesting to see these people coming in and say, well, I defecate every other day or every 2 or 3 days. And they go to the medical doctor and say, that's okay. It's not okay. You know, you're absorbing toxins, you know, and again, more inflammation along the way. So it's like, yeah, there's some things we can do with that.
Well, definitely what's interesting is I think this brings to the attention that the gluten-free diet and all the information out there, whether it's the products or takes on it, is not just a fad. Like, there's real reasons why people need to do this beyond celiac disease, and then people cutting out some of these issues out of these foods are getting better, and they're able to start making those notices themselves. So really, patients and people are getting more involved with what their food processes. So right. They're also getting more involved with what's inside of their food processes and looking for better choices, because that's not obviously as clear either.
Yeah. I think the thing is also what ties in with gluten a lot, too, is you got to take a look at things like glyphosates, which are associated with some of the like Roundup and things that are sprayed on some of this stuff. And some of these things are incorporated into the cell of the plant. I mean, you're not going to wash it off. It's incorporated into it. And they have a lot of things that are affecting pathways with this type of chemical there. That there's one they're talking about. So there's an amino acid called glycine. And also it seems to affect some of the pathways associated with neurotransmitters. So when you're making something, there's an amino acid called tyrosine and tryptophan, and they go down and make things like serotonin and dopamine and melatonin and things like that. It's like, wait a minute, this can affect my sleep. This can affect autism. This can affect my brain. This can affect all these different things. And these glyphosates are actually another thing we're going to talk about a little bit more in depth, and how to clean them out. There's ways to kind of work with that, but it almost goes hand in hand with some of the gluten, because most of the gluten stuff or the wheat products that we have anyway have this stuff contaminated with it.
So I always think it's interesting when we do this, and all of a sudden everyone's going, oh my God, I can't eat anything now. What am I going to eat? They just told me everything that I've always loved, which we need to identify that on a diet diary for a week anyway. But there are some possible grains that someone might be able to do, or we can look into those options of something that might be kind of added back into the system. Otherwise, looking at things that are naturally gluten-free, that are not stuff that we've taken out, but, I mean, looking at legumes and potatoes and nuts and seeds and fruits and vegetables and stuff.
And yes, there's a lot of things out there. And I think even some extent, if you can get some of these sprouted grains and some of those type of things, and depending on how sensitive somebody is, I think you have to take it by a case-by-case basis. But there's some of those things that work a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where some of the things is like, you know, how are they grown, and are the ancient grains from overseas that are from things that are over here? And again, I use Tom, and he's not here, so I talk about him. I'm sure he's listening. But you talk about eating bread over in Sicily, not having a problem. And you have a problem over here. And it's not just the aspect that somebody might have some organic wheat of some sort, but the problem is it gets cross-pollinated with the bees that are next to the next farm over, which has got all the other stuff in it. So it pollinates, and then you get the crossbreeding. It's very, very hard to keep it clean. That's kind of the problems with this. But I think some of the older grains, but we keep adulterating that, changing that material. And I think every time we change it, it always seems to be more of a problem.
And it's also interesting, I always think of when you're going across seas and people don't have as much of an issue, the processing of something like bread is always interesting. I think you can now make bread conventionally in 2 to 4 hours, but it used to take 6 hours or overnight to really let that dough rise on itself.
To make it to work the right way. Right?
It's all, there's a lot of different aspects to kind of keep into consideration. So gluten and your digestive tract and the connection is going to be the topic for this Wednesday night, March the 18th at the Rozelle Center for Healing. We want to make sure you're registering either online or calling the office at 703-698-7117. We'll be back in just a moment.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tomazell Live. We are live in studio, and we are talking about gluten and how it affects not only the digestive tract, but also your immune system, your stress response, and everything that we're kind of putting under stress right now. But your lecturer this Wednesday night is going to be Dr. Scott Lamp, Dr. Chiropractic, and he is going to be really taking us to a new level on this whole topic, because I know you've done this before. And with more and more information coming out, and with the immune system especially being something that is of great interest to everyone now, it's interesting to go back to some of the topics that we've brought up over the years and we're revisiting, but they're still working on our overall health no matter what's going on outside.
Right. And I think the thing we're going to cover here is going to cover digestion from head to toe, where the disease processes are, where gluten really comes in and hits. And there's a lot of things in the stomach and small intestine there, and we'll go over in the details of that. Also, where the virus can play a part with some of these things, too. We'll cover some of that because that's the topic at hand. And so we're going to cover some of those elements. And it's going to be very in-depth. I've got a handout sheet that I want to give for people, too, to kind of go through and then kind of check off their symptoms. So if you come in a little bit early, you can do the handout sheet, and we can go over that information sheet and see, like, okay, this is where your focus is, or your focus is in one place or the other.
Mm-hmm. And so don't forget, those of you who haven't been to the office before, we're right off the Beltway in Fairfax, Virginia. And this is going to be this Wednesday night, March the 18th at 7 p.m., and you can register two different ways. You can call the office at 703-698-7117. Again, that number is 703-698-7117 to register and reserve your spot. And essentially, you can also go online to our website, rozellecare.com. And if you scroll down to the upcoming events and health lectures, you'll see it says digestive disorders, and you can click that registration button. We're going to be posting some more information about what we're also doing in the office, too, including Dr. Rozelle has already sent out to a lot of the patients things that he advised during the current time, but making sure that we've got air purifiers in the office, hand sanitizers ready to go. And we're going to be doing some special things for this particular lecture, too. So we hope to see everybody there. We don't want you to be scared off. We're still very much open, still very much seeing patients all the time and working on their immune health anyway, because now is the start of also allergy season in the DMV area.
And everybody's helping out on keeping everything clean. I think it's like, I don't know how many times I've wiped down the tables myself. We're all working on trying to keep all that thing sanitary for everybody, too. I think I'm starting to develop a little carpal tunnel in my hand from the swirling motion. But to be honest, I mean, we're doing a lot of work towards that, so.
Yeah, and of course, the basic things that are out there, you know, keeping your hands washed and stuff, are going to apply to any time of the year, coughing into your sleeve. And so making sure that you're getting the best healthcare information, no matter on all levels, that's our goal as part of this educational series. So we hope you'll come and join us. Any last-minute thoughts on gluten in your digestive tract? Any fun facts?
Well, probably not in the short period I've got to be able to talk to you here, but I think we're going to go over where those things are at, how it really affects, I think, the acids in our stomach, and then basically also what they call the lining of our small intestine, where this is where a lot of the leaky gut scenarios come into play. And it kind of attacks our binding elements of the wall of the digestive tract or the small intestine, causing a rift. Things get leak in, so we'll talk a bit more in depth about what that means.
So basically, how to keep health when we're thinking outside of just the respiratory tract, but the overall health that we've been always working on.
It's going to be whole body.
Whole body, exactly. Yep. The biochemical, mental, emotional, structural
as well. Everything should be approached by that way.
Yep. Exactly. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully, you'll be listening to us now again at our new time on Sundays at 11 o'clock, and we hope to see you this Wednesday night.
Okay, take care.